I did request having lunch this evening together. Someone asked me, said, what do you think of the people down here in North Carolina? And I said, I enjoy the people. I said, they receive the gospel. I said, they're easy to preach to, but I don't really know them yet. I said, I go in, I go out. I said, that's about it. We're in and out. And so I told Doug, the person I was talking to, I said, I think I'll ask him to have a lunch just so we can sit down and just, at least if I can remember your names. Turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. I'll read it to you, then I'll lead in prayer, and then we'll look at this psalm. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. He's good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father, enable us this morning to do what we just read. Enable us to sing your praises. Enable us to be truly thankful for what you've done for us in Christ and the mercies you've shown to us along the way. Help us this morning, Father, to preach the gospel. Help us to hear. Help us to listen. Arrest our attention. Enable us to give unto thee the glory due unto thy name. We pray for those in the congregation here that are sick and afflicted. Lord, thy grace is sufficient. We look to thee for all things. We acknowledge that everything we have, our Heavenly Father has given to us. We look to thee. Lord, we depend totally, totally upon thee for time and eternity. Help me this morning to rightly divide the word of truth. Make me a blessing to these people. Make thy word a blessing. Enable us to leave this place this morning rejoicing in God our Savior. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask this, and amen. I titled this lesson this morning, The Spirit of Worship. The Spirit of Worship. We are given it here in this psalm. It's called a psalm of praise. When I was a young boy and a teenager, the last thing I wanted to do was go to church, so-called. To go hear the gospel, to go where God's people were gathered together. That's the last thing I wanted to do. And now it's the first thing I want to do. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. As I said, this psalm is a psalm of praise. Sometimes we ought to thank God for his tender mercies to us in Christ and just leave it there. Sometimes I thought we ought to pray. I ought to pray. And my prayer ought to be one of praise, thanking him for what he's done for me in Christ and leave it there. Samuel said to Israel, back in the Old Testament, consider what great things he has done for you. This day, this morning, Let's consider what great things the Lord has done for us. And I'll show you this in verse 3 here in a minute. Now he says here, make a joyful noise. The noise that we make here this morning is to be a joyful one. Joyful one. All ye lands. God is to be praised with joyful hearts first. The scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And I pray that the abundance of our heart this morning is filled with praising the Lord Jesus Christ for what He's done for us. Can you imagine this morning of those standing in His presence, of the praise, the perfect praise and glory and honor they're giving Him this morning? I hope we can just get a measure of that. I hope I can just get a measure of that this morning in worship. Our praise and thanksgiving is a joyful one. It's a joyful one. If not, then it's false worship. True worship is joyful. True worship comes from a joyful heart. No sinner who has tasted and found that the Lord is gracious can praise Him any other way. You can't praise Him any other way than joyfully. And this joyful noise, it says, is for all lands. Aren't you glad that God sent the gospel this way? Aren't you glad that God sent the gospel to North Carolina? That He purposely, not accidentally, God purposely sent it to you. My, those are the things we ought to get off to ourselves and sit down and think about it. Ponder it. God sent the gospel to me. Far reaching is the grace of God to sinners. All lands. All lands. And then he says here in verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. We're going to do that in a little while. We're going to sing praises unto Him. I want to be able to sing from my heart praises unto Him. But he says here first, serve the Lord. Our Lord is to be served by us. He's to be served by us. The scripture says we have been bought with a price. We are not our own. I'm not my own. I'm not my own man. You've heard that said. I'm my own man. I'm my own person. That's the last thing you want to be, is your own. I'm His. I'm His. I've been bought. You who believe the gospel, you've been bought with a price. With the precious blood of the Lamb. You've been bought with a price. And because of that, here's our attitude in worship. Serve the Lord with gladness. You know, I go to work at a place in Huntington, West Virginia. There are not too many guys glad to be there. They're not there serving in gladness. You know what you hear all day. You know what you listen to all day. You know the grumbling and complaining. Sound like the Israelites in Egypt, what it sounds like. Our Lord is to be served with gladness. That's our attitude. Here's our attitude in worship. Here's our attitude in service. Serving with gladness. We don't have a sad, morbid religion. We have one of gladness. Gladness. We do not serve Him with a slavish fear. Afraid. Afraid if I don't come here this morning or if I don't give, it, He's going to take it out the front door and casket. We do not serve God with slavish fear. If I don't do this or that, then He's going to do this or that to me. No. No. We serve Him with glad to be His servant. You know, the Apostle Paul usually said that he was a servant of Jesus Christ before he said that he was an apostle. Do you know what the greatest blessing or the greatest thing they can write on your tombstone? Do you know what it is? A servant of Jesus Christ. That would be the greatest thing they could write on my tombstone. A servant. A bondslave. A willing bondslave of Jesus Christ. We serve Him with gladness. Glad. I'm glad that He even let me be here this morning. I'm glad He allowed me to be here this morning. And it's humbling. It's humbling that He allowed me to stand here this morning and brag on Him. Brag to even come into His presence. As it says here in a minute, come into His presence. We are not just here. You're looking at me, I'm looking at you, you're sitting in those seats. We're in the presence of God. This service this morning now, if you're not getting a hold of this, this service this morning is in the presence of God Almighty. It's in His presence. There's no other way to serve Him but in gladness. Any other way is false pretense. It's just all just false pretense. True worship involves the heart. True worship involves the whole being, my whole being. David said, everything that's within me, everything, praise the Lord. My whole being is engaged in praising God. Those who've been born of God are glad to serve Him. Glad to serve Him. Glad to be where the gospel's preached. You glad to be here this morning? Seriously. Are you glad to be here this morning? Are you glad that you can open the Word of God and someone stand here and preach the gospel to you? Are you glad to be in His presence this morning? Glad to be used of God in whatever capacity He chooses. He chooses. I know. You could take two angels. I heard Henry say this once before. You could take two angels. One of them stripping the sweet, one of them running the nation. And they wouldn't be jealous of each other. They'd be just as glad, just as happy as could be. Doing His will. Doing His will. Glad to be where He's placed me. Content. I'll tell you when you will find real contentment. I'm going to tell you. When you'll find real contentment is when you find Jesus Christ to be all in all. When you find Jesus Christ to be enough. When He's enough, that's when you'll find real, genuine contentment. That's when you'll find it. It's when you find it in Him. You find it in a person. You'll never find it in this world. You'll never find it in material things. You'll never find it in a job. You'll never find it in anything but Christ. And then when you find it in Him, then you can find it in these other things. Then you can truly enjoy. That's when you can truly enjoy what the Lord's given you. That's when you know how to enjoy it. Of all the people on the earth, we ought to be the most glad, the most happy, the most joyful people on this earth. Redeemed. Redeemed. Do you know what we have coming? How real is Jesus Christ to you? How real is He to you? How real is forgiveness of sins to you? How real? Oh, I tell you, we have a good day coming, don't we? They have a good day coming. I just turn over to Revelation 21. This is what we have coming. I wrote out on this chapter here, I put here our future. This is my future. You know, we think we're headed up to retirement. We haven't got enough retirement saved up. We haven't got enough of this, enough of that, whatever. This is my future. Let me read it to you. If you believe the gospel, this is yours too. And you and I are going to be there together enjoying it. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Brother, I look for that to come. Some people think I'm an idiot, but I'm telling you, I look for that to happen. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death." I was at a funeral one time, and a good friend of mine and Henry preached his funeral, and I did the graveside service. And Henry, as we talked, as we turned to walk away, he looked at me and said, "John, I'll be so glad when we quit dying." And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." God renovates nothing. God renovates nothing. He makes it new. And he said to me, "Write," listen, "for these words are true and faithful." You just stake your life on it. True and faithful. And it says, "Come before his presence with singing." I tell you what, if you can come before his presence with singing, it's evident you're glad to be there. It's evident you're glad to be there. But my soul, the fact that we're allowed to come into his presence. Listen. "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Our worship and praise and singing in his presence is to be with intelligence." It's just not some kind of slap happy thing we're doing. It's with intelligence. It says in the scriptures, "All thy children shall be taught of God." It's spiritual intelligence, not earthly intelligence, spiritual. Our Lord said to the woman at the well, "We worship that we do know. You worship, you know not what. You don't know what you're doing." Real faith begins with the true knowledge of God. You cannot worship God if you don't know him. You can't worship someone you don't know. You can't believe on someone you don't know. That's not possible. And to know him, he must reveal himself to us out of his word by his spirit. He has to do it. Can it said in the book of Job, can any by searching find out God? No. Not unless he reveals himself. If God does not reveal himself, we'll miss him every time. We'll get it wrong every time. We'll think, as he said in the Psalms, "You thought I was altogether like yourself." That's exactly what we'll come up with if he doesn't reveal himself out of his word to us. But if he does that, here's what you and I will know. That the Lord Jesus Christ is God. Emmanuel, God with us. You know, that could have just as easily been written, "God against us." But here's grace. Emmanuel, God with us. The man of sorrows is the Almighty God of heaven and earth. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. He's God. He's the sovereign. He does as He will, with whom He will, when He will. Now, you're glad of that, aren't you? You glad of that? You'd be surprised. Or you're not surprised. You know how there's a lot of people not glad of that. They're not glad of that. You talk to them about God choosing the people, you're mad. I've had it in my own family. Mad. Angry. They're not mad that the angels fell and He didn't provide a Savior for them. They're not mad. They don't get mad over the elect angels. But when God invades their home, and God does as He will, with whom He will, then they get upset. Well, you can get upset all you want. God is God. He's not going to change. He's the sovereign. The Scripture says that Christ, He gives life to whom He will. It is He that hath made us, and not we are. Isn't that plain? Isn't that so plain? It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. As God, He made all things. Nothing exists apart from Him. It says on the Colossians, all things were made by Him and for Him. He made us. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's what it says in Ephesians 2. He made us new creatures. A new creation. A new man in Christ. He made us. Our first creation was from the dust. It was of the ground. The second creation is of the Spirit. The Scripture says that which is born of the Spirit. And it doesn't say that which is born of the Spirit is spiritual. Though it is. It doesn't say that though. It says that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Is spirit. Now, just as I had no part by way of helping or advising in my first birth, I had nothing to do with that. 1,000% passive in my first birth. Even so, I had nothing to do with my second birth. It's all of God. It's all of God. It is written in the Scriptures, which were born of God. He gave me life. He made me a new creation. He didn't renovate me. I'm not a renovation. God's not into antiques. He's not into renovation. He's not into fixing up something old. New. Behold, I make all things new. And listen, He made us believers. Faith and repentance are the gifts of God. They are the gifts of God. We did not make ourselves. In no way, shape, or form did I make myself alive in Christ. I didn't do that. Life begets life. My life came from Him who is life. I can tell you why I believe the gospel. I can tell you why you believe the gospel. You can't help it. It's that simple. I believe the gospel because I can't help it. I cannot help believe no more than I can help breathe. When God reveals, when He gives life, when He commands life, when He said, I said, live, and that said, it lives, and he reveals Himself, and He reveals Christ, you can't help but believe. You know, if I show you just a piece of paper here, a white sheet of paper, and I hold it up, and I say, what do I have here? And you say, a sheet of paper. What color? White. You can't say anything else, can you? You know, to say anything else or do anything else, you know you'd be lying. Faith is a gift of God. Faith is the work of God. And you can't help but believe. You cannot help it. Thou hast made... He made me a believer. He made me a believer. And that is so... That is such good news to me. I'm His responsibility. The greatest comfort I get is this. I'm His responsibility to take care of and bring home. It's not a cooperation between me and Him. It's Him. I'm on His shoulders to bring home. When He went and found that lost sheep, He put it on His shoulders and carried it home. And that's exactly what the Lord's doing right now. He's carrying us home. Sometimes we realize it, sometimes we don't. But it doesn't depend on me. It's all on Him. The believer is a work of the triune God from first to last. Someone said to me a few years ago, and I was talking about the work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration and new birth and a new creation, and he told me that wasn't that important. He said, that's not that important. He said, Christ on the cross, that's it. He said, that part's not important, that important. I said, well then why are we baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Why are we commanded to be baptized in the name of all three? Because my salvation, your salvation is the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the Trinity, the triune God. And listen, now I close this, I'm getting too long. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We are His by creation. He made us. That's what we just read there. We are His by covenant. We are His by purchase. We are His by grace. We are His by love. We are His. And He said, not one will perish. Not one. We are His sheep. God did not take a goat and turn it into a sheep. Now, brethren, I can't explain. You know, we get in trouble when we start trying to explain everything instead of believing what God says. I'm His sheep. I've always been His sheep. Always been His. And that's way over my head. Way over my head. We are His sheep who were lost but are now found. We are His sheep and He is our shepherd. And He feeds us just like He's doing this morning out of His Word. This is sheep food. What you're getting this morning is sheep food. Now enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Oh, isn't this a spirit of praise? This is a spirit of worship here. What a glorious sound. Enter in. Welcome. Welcome, sinner. Welcome. You know what our Lord was accused of? The Pharisees accused Him of eating with publicans and sinners. They accused Him of eating with people like you and me. They said, you believe that? He could be over here with us. But He's eating with publicans and harlots. Prostitutes. He's sitting over with them. Talking to them. They're talking to Him. They're listening. If you're a sinner, died in the wool center, welcome. Welcome to Jesus Christ. Enter into His gates of mercy. Enter into His gates with praise and thanksgiving. Lift up your head and hands and bless His holy name. Bless His holy name. Be thankful unto Him. A thankless man is a graceless man. But a man saved by grace is a mighty thankful man. Mighty thankful. A man who has been plucked from the fire is thankful. Oh, that's what we have. Well, that's what we come to realize. God has plucked us from the fire, saved us, it says, from the wrath to come. A man washed in the blood of the Lamb is a thankful man. A man made righteous, a sinful man made righteous, is a thankful man. And here's the reason, I'm going to close. Here's the reason for the praise and the thanksgiving. For the Lord is good. Is He? I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter how bad my day is. It doesn't matter what God's taken away from me. It does not change the nature of God. And if He's taken something from me, it's good. God has never, ever, ever, ever done anything to any of His children that was not absolutely pure, holy, and good. Whatever He puts them through is good. It's not easy to say that. It's not easy to believe that and grasp that. When you go through it, it's tough. The chastening is tough, isn't it? My parents used to chasten me. My dad knew how to do it. I'm telling you, take a switch off a tree, went no timeout until he got tired. His timeout was when he was ready to quit. But I know that mom and dad chastened me in love as best they could, as best you and I can. Our love is so anemic. And every time our Lord chastens us, tries us, makes us cry, lays us in the dust, whether we comprehend it or not, it's good. It is good. And when you and I finally leave this life, and we stand in His presence, I believe that Scott Richardson said, we wouldn't change a thing. We wouldn't. You know, how many times have you said, boy, if I could go back, I wouldn't do this or I wouldn't do that? You'd be so stinking self-righteous, it'd be pathetic. Really. If you and I go back, we would change the things that we think that's sinful and wretched and we shouldn't. What about the things we didn't do? We should have done. It's the sins of omission are just as bad as the ones of commission. Wouldn't change a thing when it's all said and done. He's good. His providence is good. Whatever He sends our way today is good, even though it may break my heart. He's a good shepherd. He's the good Samaritan. He's all that is good. Apart from God, good doesn't even exist. And His mercy is forever. It's everlasting. Drink large of it. You're not going to drink. You're not going to wear it out. You're not going to empty it. You might feel like it, but you're not. His mercy was on us before the world was. His mercy is on us now, and His mercy is going to lead us home. We are going to ride home in the chariot of His mercy. And His truth endures to all generations. It just looks like at times it's going to be put out like a candle, doesn't it? There's times it looks like it's going to be put out. We got His word on it. It'll endure. When you and I are gone, truth will still be enduring to the next generation. And the greatest thing we can leave our children, you want to talk about an inheritance, the greatest thing you and I can leave our children is the truth. The truth. Tell them the truth. And leave it there. Oh, I pray that the Lord give us a spirit, a true spirit of worship this morning, of singing His praises, thanking Him, a thankful heart. Thankful. He hath made us, and not we. I didn't make myself a believer. I didn't make myself a child of God. I can remember years ago, they tried to get me to come down an aisle. They grabbed me by the, don't you want to go down front? Don't you want trying to get me to accept Jesus as my personal Savior. I mean, trying to drag me down the aisle. But when I heard the gospel, just get out of the way. Ain't no dragging. Ain't no dragging. It became not me accepting Him. It became Him accepting me. He's the sovereign. He can have me or damn me and be just in either way He does it. Boy, when you realize that, someone said, you never worship until you finally worship at a sovereign throne. All others you'll bargain with. I think it was A.W. Pink said that. All right. Thank you, John.